Well, it's only Thursday again. My last Thursday as a 50-year-old, 50-plus, as I head into my 60s next week, and I seem to get more busier by the day. Anyway, here comes another show, and this is the Truth, Honour and Integrity Show. My name's Thomas Williams. Enjoy the show. Yes, I'm back in the saddle again 48 hours later after that fairly brutal but epic reveal show on Tuesday. And we've got a packed show again tonight, littered with reality, truth, and a tiny sprinkling of common sense. Well, I never. Right, I want to say thanks to all the people who have joined the Think Different TPC site, and apologies, I've not been able to engage as yet and iron out a few glitches here and there, and I'm hoping towards the end of next week to get that up and running and sure we all start off on the right foot. Now, after that, I will attend an occasional communal gathering call for each group, and I will likely have another Zoom call with you all a week tomorrow, and we can formulate some ideas between us for each group to move forward. Now, the chances of trust funds appearing anytime soon don't appear to be too high currently, but we can develop it on our own with a few hours a week from each member. We can come up with innovative ways for fundraising, apply for our own grants, and even pool our own resources together to develop the group. And that will lead to people eventually being employed by the TPC, be it direct positions on an initial commission basis or with business projects we can get funding for. A few times recently I've heard some people have tried to label our group as a cult. And in the English-speaking world, the term cult often carries derogatory connotations. And in this sense, it has been considered a subjective term used as an ad hominem attack against groups with differing doctrines or practices. But the old issue is, have people defined or understood that word? Now, reading the description of it suggests nobody has really defined that word, and it is used like a meme to discredit people or groups, like the term conspiracy theory. Now, some of the terminology around suggests people being different, having differing beliefs. So both of those meanings suggest, unless you follow the normal guideline given to us, you are then labelled a cult. But our cult has no central figure. He doesn't sleep with all the females, doesn't collect all your money personally, and gives more back than is received. Kind of odd cult that. And it doesn't ask you to follow the leader either. It asks you to be personally responsible and a better version of yourself. And yes, it asks you to think. Oh my God, he's asking me to think. Surely that is a cult. And it also asks you to look after one another and share the load. It asks you to care more, cooperate more, and operate under, yes, it's that word again, common sense. I mean, what type of cult is that? For me, people can call us whatever they like out of their own poor judgments and basic lack of understanding. But we will go on doing the right things in the right manner and the right way, and leave the non-thinking people to stew in their own world of failure. But what often goes unnoticed within this group is the amount of work with helping members behind the scenes of the radio show. And this week was fairly heavy in that field. People wanting info on the community gatherings, details of homes and land, plus location and ideas. But I was asked to do two other calls this week that involved heavy personal help to two people who are struggling with similar issues. One has lost his abilities due to a slippage of his ego and dabbling things a light being must avoid, drugs and to a lesser degree, alcohol. The second was more related to one of our members and required differing types of help and support, and I'm pleased that he is progressing in his recovery. And this is the essence of THI. We are a support structure to many people, unless some choose to not listen or act in the right way. I personally do not have the time for those type of people anymore. They have been given all the tools and need to act on them. This song goes out to Rob. Right, as the UK mourns the loss of Prince Philip and all the sugar-coated rhetoric that was spewed forth from the media, and whilst one must pay their respects to the family of anyone who's died, forgive me if I don't shed any tears for the racist Greek. The world has yet to hear the real story of Philip, of how he and Charles plotted to kill Elizabeth because she wouldn't sign off on sovereignty papers. Alleged links to Jimmy Savile that was denied to the public knowledge by the gutless Scotland Yard group, who were investigating Jimmy Savile and others in the 1990s, but closed it as the links to it ended at the palace. Some people will remember him as an out-and-out racist, particularly against Asians. And the fact of the matter is, as pointed out on SOTT.net, Philip was an immigrant who spent his whole life on welfare and scrounged off the people to live a lavish lifestyle in a role that he was not suitable to or for the people of the UK. Russia, according to the portal people, has upped its saber-rattling in Eastern Europe and the Arctic, a move that has put the Biden administration on alert. And in the past 2 weeks, Moscow has moved to test Washington and its allies on land, in the air and at sea, with a build-up of military equipment in eastern Ukraine, military flights near Alaskan airspace and submarine activity in the Arctic. And according to the Pentagon, who are just itching for the war at the moment, I think we've been very clear about threats that we see from Russia across the mains. We're taking them very seriously, all whilst ignoring that the Pentagon are part of a group, including NATO, who are marching forward across Europe and threatening Russia. It only applies one way, you see, in childish games. Now, the Defense Department is overly observant of Russian activity after fighting resumed between Moscow-backed separatists and Ukrainian soldiers in eastern Ukraine, which ended the ceasefire the two groups had made last summer. 20 Ukrainian soldiers have been killed in the skirmishes since the start of this year, and the two sides have been fighting since 2004, when Moscow seized and annexed Crimea from Ukraine, a conflict that Kiev asserts has killed 14,000 people since its start. Now, Russian jets and bombers have been frequently flown near Allied airspace, forcing NATO jets to scramble to respond 10 times on Monday alone. And in addition, in late March, three Russian nuclear ballistic missile submarines simultaneously broke through several feet of ice in the Arctic in a military drill and a maneuver that comes as the Kremlin has moved to raise its defences in the Arctic. Russia's aggressive actions have prompted US European command, that's a new one, to raise its alert status to highest level, and the activity in Ukraine in particular has prompted latex man top national security leaders to call their Ukrainian counterparts and other leaders in the region. Now, the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Mark Milley, on Wednesday spoke by phone with the Ukraine Chief of General Staff, Ruslan Komchak, as well as Russia's top officer, General Valery Gerasimov. But a day later, Defence Secretary Lloyd Austin called his Iranian counterpart, Andrei Taran, to discuss the regional security issue and condemn recent escalations of Russian aggressive and provocative actions in the eastern Ukraine. And the National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan last week also spoke with Ukrainian counterpart, as did the Secretary of State Antony Blinken, who said he discussed ways of strengthening security cooperation with the Ukrainian Foreign Minister Dmytro Kuleba, and all leaders have pledged that Washington would stand by Kiev. Yet again, more childlike grandstanding by the toy soldiers in offices. Yes, you with the badges on your shoulder. Toy soldiers, the lot of you. You know, wouldn't it be great if all the generals just went to war and punched hell out of each other and saved people's lives for their own stupidity? But the point is, airspace should be available to everyone. Who gave anyone the right to claim our airspace? It belongs to everyone. Why is it always the military's blocking airspace, land access and rights, given we the people pay for all their hardware, software, equipment, lands and bases? And the point is that Ukraine was part of Russia until certain banking groups and clans decided otherwise. And that issue is between Russia and Ukraine, and no other country should be involved in it. Now, can you imagine if the roles were reversed, the outcry, if a differing but similar situation happened in America, whereby the Mexican buildup of troops around California, Arizona, New Mexico and Texas to reclaim part of their former lands? What would the reaction be to that? Because if the Americans go up in arms over that, then they should understand the Russians with Ukraine. But then if Ukraine wasn't strategic and didn't have mineral and gas resources, would it be of any interest? The answer is no. Lloyd Austin, being a busy man, trying to kickstart World War III, it seems. The US defense chief is due to meet with Netanyahu and Gantz in Israel about the engineered nuclear crisis surrounding Iran. So I looked into Lloyd Austin's background to find the dot connector. That always seems to lead back to Israeli connections, and I found this. Austin joined the board of Raytheon Technologies, a military contractor, in April 2016, and as of October 2020, his Raytheon stock holdings were worth roughly $500,000. And his compensation, including stock, totaled $1.4 million. 4 years. That item alone should disturb Americans most. On top of his lavish salary these military groups pay, within 4 years he has gained $500,000 in stock and compensation of $900,000. 4 years for working for the death cult. And on September 2017, he was appointed to New Cause Board of Directors. Another payday. In May of 2018, he was appointed as an independent director on the board of Tenet Healthcare. He also, in his spare time, you'd think the US defense chief was a full-time job, clearly not. He operates a consulting firm and has been a partner at Pine Island Capital, an investment company with which Anthony Blinken and Michelle Flournoy are affiliated. Anthony Blinken, like Austin, is a new leader as Secretary of State. Of course, Anthony is born in and born to also. Now, Michelle Flournoy is a Council of Foreign Relations member, works with another military contractor, Booz Allen Hamilton, and not to be left out of the equation, as where there is skullduggery, this group, like a steaming turd, is always at the centre of the toilet bowl. Flournoy is on the CIA's external advisory board as well. In a week where Bernie Madoff, the major player in another Ponzi scheme, died, allegedly. Perhaps he took the same route across the Atlantic Channel, or the Atlantic Ocean, as Epstein, who knows. And it emerged that a Los Angeles actor was the mastermind of a $690 million Ponzi scheme that bilked investors who thought their money would finance distribution rights for movies that would run on HBO and Netflix. Zachary Joseph Horovitz, who went by Zach Avery as an actor, was arrested on Monday and charged with wire fraud, according to the Los Angeles U.S. Attorney's Office. And I guess with a name like that, I don't have to reveal he's born too. Now, the Security and Exchange Commission also sued Mr. Horovitz and his firm, 1inMM Capital LLC, in civil court over the alleged scam, which it says involved an elaborate plan to betray efforts to sell film licensing rights, primarily in Latin American markets. Just goes on and on and on. Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo defended a controversial privacy technique being used by the U.S. Census Bureau in the 2020 census, a method the agency promised would only make small changes to actual numbers in counts of racial and ethnic groups. Now, the technique called differential privacy adds mathematical noise or errors to the data to obscure any given individual's identity while still providing statistically valid information. And the Bureau officials say the change is needed to prevent data miners from matching individuals to confidential details that have been rendered anonymous in the massive data released expected as early as August. And they said it will be applied to race, age and other demographic information in geographic areas within each state. What is the point of doing a census if dodgy bureaucrats are going to fudge the figures to fulfill an agenda? Why are they even being allowed to do this? Again, there's no accountability. That's where the activist team in the communal gatherings can have an effect in the future. Increasing taxes on the wealthy and corporations could help the global economy rebound. Yeah, right. And that's according to officials at the IMF, who said it could level playing fields. Now, this further cements the IMF shift towards progressive economics. I love the way they word things. As wealth taxes grow in popularity, and lifting taxes on wealthy individuals and corporations could improve the global rebound from the scandemic recession, according to the IMF. New stimulus and an improved rate of vaccination led the IMF to raise its global forecast earlier in the week. The global growth forecast, I should say, but the organisation is already looking beyond the initial rebound. Governments will eventually need to retract their fiscal support to avoid possible debt risks, and balancing stimulus with austerity will be a key challenge in the coming years. Austerity indeed. And reforming both domestic and international taxes can help bring about a more equitable and environmentally friendly economy, according to the IMF. Or, here's a common sense solution. The IMF could just stop raping countries with their fake loans, designed not to be repaid, and to steal the resources of the countries they have forced into taking those loans. Well, there's a novel idea. Roberta S. Jacobson, former ambassador to Mexico, whom Latex Man chose as his border czar on the National Security Council, will step down at the end of the month, she said on Friday, even as the administration struggles to confront a surge of migrants at the nation's southwestern border. Now, Miss Jacobson, who was born in and born to, who had been described as one of Biden's administration's key players in dealing with the governments in the Northern Triangle area of Central America, she had praised Biden's efforts to repair and recast the nation's immigration system after 4 years under Donald Trump. Newsflash. They will never fix it. It's an agenda. And America's not interested in humanitarian support for these people. It is a cartel racketeering system designed for gangsters and fraudsters, and also brown envelopes in Congress. That's what's going on. The majority of people brought into this country are for rogue programs, and no government has made any attempt to fix that, including Trump. They never even charged Eric Holder for gun running, which is part of that racketeering. Now, Ms. Jacobson said that her appointment as a special assistant to the president and as border coordinator in the White House was always intended to only last for 100 days. Yeah, believe that. A period that will expire at the end of April when she intends to leave government. Now, the timing of her departure is nonetheless striking, coming in the middle of the administration's efforts to reduce the flow of immigration from Honduras, Guatemala, and also El Salvador. And Ms. Jacobson had been charged with leading that effort when her appointment was announced this year. Well, she's done her job. Flooded the country with gangsters, stolen children, and the harvesting child slave labour, the sex cult and body parts industry continues, it seems. Israel says it will not cooperate with an investigation by the International Criminal Court into possible war crimes in the occupied territories. And in a letter to the court, Israel says the ICC is acting without authority in carrying out the probe. And the ICC gave Israel and the Palestinians who instigated the action until Friday to respond. And the issue threatens to further damage already strained relations between the two sides And only last month, Israeli authorities cancelled the VIP travel pass of the Palestinian foreign minister on his return to the Israeli-occupied West Bank from talks with the ICC chief prosecutor Fatou Bensouda. How childish is that? Now, the ICC has a duty to explore whether there are sufficient grounds to open a probe when a new member joins, as the Palestinians did in January 2015. And last month, Ms. Bensouda announced that the court would proceed and investigate possible crimes committed by both Israelis and Palestinians in the West Bank, Gaza and East Jerusalem since the 13th of June 2014. Good luck with that. The problem is, Israelis think they are the law. The Talmud is the law. Their religion is the law. And it's high time the rest of the world created our own law and told these Hebrew Anunnakis, this is our law, and if you don't like it, piss off and leave the planet from whence you came. Pfizer is threatening to delay further shipments of vaccines to Israel over a delay in payments, reportedly warning that the Jewish state could go back to the back of the line if it doesn't pay up. Pfizer said Monday it had completed all vaccine deliveries to Israel under its initial agreement and was working on a new deal to supply more doses to the Jewish state. Now, the company is currently working with the Israeli government to update the agreement to supply additional vaccines to that state. And while this work continues, shipments may be adjusted, but a payment delay reportedly sparked a harsh warning from the vaccine maker. Now, Channel 12 said the company warned Israel this week that if the payments do not come in, the doses will be shipped elsewhere. So not only do they not observe laws, they refuse to pay when they choose also. It's all about the shekels. Ain't that right, Rabbi Finkelstein? So that story was ran on April the 9th. There was a swift Israeli response to that story just one day later. The South African variant of the coronavirus is notably more adept at breaking through the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine than other variants are, Israeli scientists have magically found in a first-of-its-kind real-world study. Israel has used the Pfizer vaccine almost exclusively to vaccinate millions of its citizens with a version by mode RNA based on similar innovative mRNA technology used minimally. And a team from Tel Aviv University and Clalit Healthcare Organization sequenced the swabs of 150 Israelis who tested positive for COVID-19 despite having been vaccinated. Oops. So it was okay given all the Israeli people, Pfizer, when the Israelis were not paying. But a day later, when they're asked to pay the bill, suddenly Pfizer's a pile of shit and that vaccine doesn't work. That whole piece is to force Pfizer to back down, or they will use their media machine to discredit them. It's all very faction-based, isn't it? We warned of a ramp-up of an event that would be required by the old system. Now their COVID BS has fallen apart. The Ukraine is one, Syria another, and Iran the third. All involving one group, the Israeli junta. Now, the Israeli Elites, who own most of the world with their greed and harvesting culture, are under big pressure now to push their agendas, and they do wish to achieve it by starting World War III. Now, I will have a detailed op-ed piece of how, why, and their plans in next week's show. But an explosion this week has damaged an Iranian cargo ship anchored off Yemen's Red Sea coast, which is actually nowhere near Israel, those who are not geographically challenged, that is allegedly used by the Revolutionary Guards for spying, really, according to Five Eyes agencies only, plus the hidden one, which is Mossad. And Iran's foreign ministry has confirmed the blast that targeted the Saviz on Tuesday, and thankfully it caused no casualties and was under investigation. And the vessel was a civilian ship stationed there to secure the region against pirates, he added. And the New York Times reported that Israel had told the US it attacked the Saviz. Now, Israeli officials did not comment, but it's the latest in a series of attacks between Israel and Iranian-owned ships. And they both blame each other. Then on Saturday, Iran announced that it started up advanced IR-6 and IR-5 centrifuges that enriches uranium more quickly in what is said to be a new breach of its undertakings under the troubled 2015 nuclear agreement. It also said it had begun mechanical tests on an even faster nuclear centrifuge, and the output of Iran's IR-9 centrifuge, when operational, would be 50 times quicker than the first Iranian centrifuge, the IR-1. And Iran's nuclear program is also developing IR-8 centrifuges. Now, President Hassan Rouhani officially inaugurated the cascades of 164 IR-6 centrifuges and 30 IR-5 devices at Iran's Natanz uranium enrichment plant in a ceremony for National Nuclear Technology Day, which was broadcast by the state television. Now, the broadcast aired no images of the cascade, but broadcast a link with engineers at the plant who said they had introduced uranium hexafluoride gas to the cascades after receiving the order from Rouhani. The broadcast aired no images of the cascade, but the story was written and indeed attributed to the agencies. Oops. You see, agencies make statements and never provide facts, is why. One day later, a nuclear facility in Iran was hit by a terrorist act a day after it unveiled new advanced uranium centrifuges, a top nuclear official says. He did not say who was to blame, but urged the international community to deal with this nuclear terrorism. The Israeli media suggests the incident was a result of an Israeli cyber attack. Now, last year, a fire broke out at Natanz underground facility, which the authorities allege was the result of cyber sabotage. Both of those events were done by Mossad and their insane attempts to launch World War III for their one world agenda. In other news, the New York Times predictably ran a hit piece on Russia, questioning their statistics on COVID, quoting anonymous sources and nondescript sources, which means both of them with the CIA. And they were citing Russia's low figures from the pandemic. And the headline says, "You can't trust anyone. Russia's hidden COVID toll is an open secret," railed the New York Times. You can't trust anyone. Least of all, you can't trust the New York Times to say or get a single news item correct. The New York Times saying you can't trust anyone. Too funny. I wonder, did he get irony over there? The District of Columbia Medical Examiner on Wednesday released the cause of death for four of the five people who died at the January 6th riot at the US Capitol, but results are still pending for the Capitol Police Officer Brian Sicknick. Why? Because yet again, the media lied about the officer's death is why. They said he was killed by blunt force by one of the rioters, which actually did not take place. Oops. There's another media set of liars. The CNN staffer can be seen in a newly released undercover video calling out his own network for, well, I never, pro-pagan dar, and boasting that the cable news giant successfully removed former President Donald Trump from office. "Look what we did. We got Trump out," Charles Chester, a network technical director at CNN, said to an undercover journalist from the Political Action Group, who is in part faction-based, Project Veritas. And he said, "I'm 100% going to say it, and I believe 100% that if it wasn't for the CNN, I don't know that Trump would have got voted out." And Chester spoke to the undercover reporter in several clips in which he bragged that he was one step down from a director and admitted that the network pushed the story it didn't know anything about relating to Trump's physical health in order to damage him. Yet again, media caught lying or using false evidence to steer the narrative. When will the American public turn off altogether their fake news channels? And the common sense question is, when will action be taken against CNN for interference in an election? Former Council of Economic Advisers Chairman Kevin Hassett discusses President Biden's economic policy with another group of liars, Fox Business News, arguing that the large corporate tax hikes will cause companies to flee abroad. Indeed, they are pushing for the end of America and the West so the Hebrew Anunnaki can return where they landed. Asia. There's something a few people, only a few people will know. Did you know one of the Swiss banks has fees for storing virtual gold? Get your head around that. The Swiss bank has fees for storing virtual gold. There's just no end to stupidity in their world. Hunter Biden portrays his work on the board of Ukrainian natural gas company Burisma Holdings as an asset in US efforts to pressure Russia. And Biden writes that Burisma served as a bulwark against Russian efforts to control Ukrainian natural gas reserves, adding that his family name would save the US in this regard. To put it more bluntly, he said having a Biden on Burisma's board was a loud and unmistakable FU to Putin. Yet more child-level talking. America's got no right to interfere in that country, and please spare me the BS of we are saving people's lives and freedoms. It's about stealing resources again. The resources that belongs to every man, woman and child on this planet, and it needs to be shared equally. Common sense solution again. Some lead jackass in the American administration said this week, yet more child-level rhetoric that defies belief, and the levels of stupid people talking about foreign policy, and what's worse is, too few see it as a problem. He said, quote, even if China were to change and adapted our constitution and our laws wholesale, we should still try to limit their growth merely because we shouldn't have a peer competitor. We must stop them even if it means pushing them back towards poverty. To the Americans, you wonder why America has always had a disastrous foreign policy. That is why. Child-level thinking. And you also may wonder why the rest of the world views us as a threat and with disdain. There's your answer. Why? We shouldn't have a peer competitor, and if they are, we'll push them into poverty. Really? Here's another bunch of clowns in the intelligence and military. Some so-called intelligent people came up with this gem of childlike behavior. In a report released on Tuesday, the U.S. intelligence, which is an oxymoron, community warned of a diverse array of global threats that could further destabilize a world shaken by the effects of the COVID-19 pandemic, technological change and international competition. The 2021 annual threat assessment, a 27-page unclassified document outlining the collective view of the country's 18 intelligence agencies. 18. So they've added one from the last time I knew. Said the potential for cascading events in an increasingly interconnected and mobile world would create new and unique challenges as known adversaries continue to jockey for influence and climate change heightens instability. Now the report, wait for it, you all know the four names they're going to come up with. The report said that China, Russia, Iran and North Korea would seek to challenge US interests in different arenas and on multiple levels, and that transnational crime, cyber attacks and terrorist plots posed continued threats. Transnational crime, cyber attacks and terrorist plots. And they don't mention Israel. Funny, aren't they? Given Israel this week admitted they did a cyber attack. But oh, how predictable our so-called intelligence agencies are. The same four threats, and they are about as predictable as a Life Force intel show, and is based in the same levels of truth or proof, like zero. North Korea and Iran are both because they have the audacity to wish to protect themselves due to American-paid nuclear weapons installed in Israel and also South Korea. Russia and China is because whilst America's military and foreign policy has been to destroy every weak country militarily, these two countries built things for the future. And the reality is now America is miles behind and wants to only play with their ball. And it's staggeringly childish. But if you're going to waste $1 trillion a year just to destroy things, and other countries are spending their funds on development and infrastructure and their people, heaven forbid. This is what happens. You fall behind. And we're light years behind. I'm not interested whether America's got the best military, the best planes, warships. That's irrelevant. You don't then play child-level games and call the clearly more brighter intelligence policies in other countries' names or threaten war or sanctions. It's utter childish. We have to realise the mistake and let's come up with solutions to correct it by first getting rid of all the neo-hawks, the Israeli lobbyists and the non-compete war-based companies. Boeing, Raytheon, Halliburton, all them. And let's make war a non-profitable business. Impose heavy penalties on military budgets for every soldier lost in the theatre, every soldier maimed, and every soldier suffering mental issues due to mind control and drugging them. Make the military budget responsible for healthcare and battle care also, and know there is no need to increase the budget. Over half of it goes in bogus contracts, black budgets and blind staff and groups. Bit of common sense broke out there. As Marin County, California does their utmost best to prove our show correct again this week, blatant racism, check, divide and conquer, check, anti-white, check, because it appears that white is no longer classed as or considered as a colour. And Marin County are running a universal basic income programme, which, as enticing as that sounds and is, it will be a disaster for the people. I warned about it 2 years ago. Now, the county has set aside $400,000 for 125 low-income mothers receiving $1,000 each month for 2 years. Yet more John Hopkins math, it seems, because 125 people receiving $1,000 a month for 2 years equals $3 million. 400,000 divided by 125 is 3,200 each, which is $133 a month. John Hopkins math again. Now, the statement made by Marion County says only mothers of colour are eligible. And as white is no longer classed as a colour, they are barred from participating. Now, this is designed to generate anger, so white people turn on the people of colour out of injustice, and then it becomes a free-for-all in abuse and violence. Don't buy into it. And all people, again, this is something the activists can do, should tell Marion County, we do not approve of your racist approach to public matters, inciting people to turn against each other. Attack the program, not the people. It didn't end there. a new woke prayer book being sold in Target and Amazon, encouraging blatant racism again, has emerged. The prayer called A Prayer of a Weary Black Woman by Dr. Shanaqua Walker Barnes, who is a theology professor at Mercer University, says this: Dear God, please help me to hate white people, or at least want to hate them. I want to stop caring about their misguided racist souls, to stop believing that they can be better, that they can stop being racist. The prayer then describes the type of white person they want to hate. Not the actual blatantly racist ones, but the wolves in sheep's clothing who don't see colour, who are friendly and accepting on the surface. Lord, if it will be your will, harden my heart, stop me from striving to see the best in people. Stop me from being hopeful that white people can do and be better. Let me imagine them instead as a white hooded robe standing in front of burning crosses. Let me see them as hopelessly unrepentant, reprobate bigots who have blasphemed the Holy Spirit and who need to be handed over to the evil one. Grant me a get out of judgment free card if I make white people the exception to your commandment to love our neighbours as we love ourselves. And that's been sold at Target and Amazon. It's just staggering amounts of ignorance, hatred and racism. And perhaps some of the black people should listen to last Tuesday's show and understand who the real problem is. As one group of people wish to make this world sterile, blocking out the sun, or is it blacking out the sun? Another group wish to populate us with live viruses, all to line the pockets of the greedy elites and the vulture capitalist groups. Pentagon scientists revealed a microchip that senses COVID-19 in your body before you show symptoms, and a filter extracts the virus from blood. Microchip. And DARPA's team saw COVID-19 infected 1,271 on board the USS Theodore Roosevelt as the virus spread unchecked. And in response, they have developed a microchip to detect asymptomatic COVID in a bid to prevent an outbreak, which they caused. And the chip is inserted below skin and triggers a sensor if COVID infects the body. DARPA have also created a filter which can remove COVID virus from the blood when attached to dialysis. And they're working on a vaccine that would work against all coronaviruses, even ones not yet identified. Well, given DARPA and Langley had over 91 different versions of COVID, the only groups that have them, there's your answer. And they were backslapping themselves by saying the team also successfully manufactured antibodies against Spanish flu. You want to know why? Because the US military was the start of the Spanish flu in 1919. And it seems clear they are involved in the microchip flu from 2019 onwards. What is interesting is this story was ran by the UK. So MI5, MI6 wrote it. The question is why? Poor faction games? The next section of tonight's show is COVID BS. And we've got a range of different pieces on COVID tonight. Well, first off is Derek Thompson, a staff writer for The Atlantic, who was wheeled out to respond to hesitancy from some, try a lot, to receive the coronavirus vaccines developed using mRNA technology. And he called it an extraordinary scientific success story that has been in development for decades. Oops. And in an interview, Thompson outlined the specifics of the mRNA, which was used in the development of the coronavirus vaccines by Pfizer, BioNTech, and ModeRNA. Now, mRNA is essentially a recipe book for proteins, and proteins basically tell our cells to do everything that there is for cells to do. So, which, what he's suggesting here is that people are not capable of doing that. Suggesting they wish to control how our bodies react, suggesting they wish to have full control over our bodies. And then he said, in this case, there is a very specific protein that's on the surface of the coronavirus called the spike protein. Common sense question. But what if you don't have the coronavirus? Thompson said the mRNAs, or the spike proteins for our cells to make, our immune system recognizes those spike proteins, learns how to fight them, so when they do confront the actual coronavirus with its spike proteins, then the immune system knows exactly how to combat this disease. Common sense question again. Doesn't our immune system do that naturally, given the 99.97% immune system cure rate? Unlike these vaccines, which are techno jabs, that are only 63 to 90% effective. And he said, while some people may be hesitant to trust this technology, yeah, they've got a brain, which was not used in the development of Johnson & Johnson's inoculation, Thompson said the research surrounding mRNA has been gestating for about 40 years. And he said the first investigations into synthetic mRNA technology was back in the 1970s. Trust this technology, he said. Trust the technology, he said. I thought it was a vaccine. Why would you wish to put technology in the most advanced being ever created? And what amazes me about this is, where are all the religious people? Why are they not up in arms about messing with God's creation? Funny that, isn't it? The elites of the World Economic Forum, those of the Great Reset, and that jackass, what was this, Schwartz or Schwarzer, whatever, are promoting a new smart mask. Ooh. Smart means to sting or burn, remember. That connects the user's smartphone and sends alerts if they forget to put it on. Dearie me, you know, What happens if you still refuse to put it on? Does the smartphone dial the Stasi? 1-800-IAM-NAZI. One has to wonder. Let's not forget, not one of these elites who are telling us to wear a mask are wearing one themselves. Also in the news this week, it's time to unplug the sanitizing robots and put away the bottles of Clorox that seem to line the entrances to every school, restaurant and supermarket wanting to advertise its safety protocols. And the report said, while such protocols may be reassuring to an anxious populace, they are not necessary, says a revised guidance issued on Monday by the CDC. The CDC says you don't need the bottles of Clorox and hand sanitizer. And then they said this, it is possible for people to be infected through contact with contaminated surfaces or objects, but the risk is generally considered to be low, according to the new CDC guideline. Estimating that the chance of contracting the coronavirus through surface transmission is lower than 1 in 10,000. Aren't people a surface transmission? So why do we need social distancing? I guess that was too common sense again. So it only took them 12 months to ascertain that. And yet another flip-flop. But you can guarantee the stupid people will carry on with their fear-based lifestyles. Where's the hand sanitizer? Ooh, I'm going to die. No, you will die. Maybe you start taking too many of them vaccines. That's a certainty. Johnson & Johnson's coronavirus vaccine is facing a double dose of problems. Georgia is the third state to temporarily shut down a vaccine site after eight people suffered adverse reactions to the shot, and all three major US vaccines produced adverse reactions in more than 60,000 people nationwide. For each manufacturer, Pfizer, Moderna and Johnson & Johnson, just 0.1% of all people have reported side effects. If only they kept to that figure of 0.1% when they were doing the fear-based report at the very beginning. Remember, that's what started this so-called pandemic, is John Hopkins didn't know the difference between 0.1 and 1.0. But yet again, more John Hopkins maths when they said reactions in 60,000 people. No, the side effects figure was well over 100,000 in the middle of last month. Florida has filed a lawsuit against the Biden administration and the CDC to force the reopening of the state's cruise industry, and the lawsuit filed on Thursday in the US District Court in Tampa names as defendants the CDC and the Department of Health and Human Services, as well as the agency's appointed leaders. And it claims the CDC's COVID-19 prevention guidelines for cruise ships are arbitrary and capricious, also unconstitutional, and violations of the federal laws governing administrative procedures. Now, the lawsuit deepens a battle between Florida Governor Ron DeSantis and the Biden administration over the wisest course out of the pandemic. Well, DeSantis lifted most restrictions on businesses in Florida and has repeatedly criticized Biden's cautious steps. And DeSantis last week issued an executive order barring businesses from requiring that customers be vaccinated. I would expect you're going to see a lot more of these types of lawsuits. The Ministry of Health of Russia. There's another interesting item. Russia has post-mortem dissected a COVID-19 patient, and a great discovery has been made. Russia is the first country in the world to dissect COVID-19 corpses. After a thorough investigation, it was determined that COVID does not exist as a virus. Oops. I'm going to repeat that for the hard of hearing. I know our members aren't. Russia is the first country in the world to dissect COVID-19 corpses, which is an oddity in and of itself. And after a thorough investigation, it was determined that COVID does not exist as a virus. Oops. It is a global scam, they said, and people die of extended electromagnetic radiation poison. Bioweapon. Remember Exposé 7? And doctors in Russia are violating the World Health Organization's law that does not allow autopsies of people with COVID-19 who have died. Really? And after a period of scientific discovery, it cannot be assumed that it is a virus, but rather bacteria that causes death and leads to the formation of blood clots in the veins and nerves from which the patient dies because of these bacteria. Now, Russia defeated the virus and said there's nothing else but a coagulation of the blood vessels, thrombosis, and the treatment method is intact. They use antibiotic tablets, anti-inflammatory, and taking anticoagulants, which is aspirin. It means that the disease can be cured, and they wanted the rest of the world to know about this, and the message for the world was prepared by Russian doctors through the autopsy of the COVID-19 virus. And according to other Russian scientists, ventilators and intensive care units were never used. Protocols for this has already been published in Russia. Now, China already knew this, but never published its report. And they are asking for people to share this information with your family, neighbours, friends, co-workers, so they can get out of the fear of COVID-19 and understand that it's not a virus, but simply bacteria exposed to 5G rays. And the cause is to hurt people with a very low immunity. And this radiation also causes inflammation and hypoxia. Those who are the victims should take Aprin 100 milligrams and Aproniko or paracetamol 650 milligrams. Paracetamol is Tylenol in the US. And because COVID-19 has been shown to cause blood clotting, leading to thrombosis in people, and why blood clots in the veins and therefore the brain, heart and lungs cannot oxygenate, which makes it difficult for people to breathe, and people die quickly with a lack of breathing energy. Now, doctors in Russia did not listen to the World Horror Organization protocol and dissected the corpses on the COVID-19 cases. They opened up arms, legs and other body parts, and after being properly tested, noticed that the blood vessels and veins filled with clots that normally prevented blood flow as well as reducing the flow of oxygen in the body, causing the patient to die. Now, after the news of this study, the Ministry of Health of Russia changed the COVID-19 treatment protocol and gave aspirin 100 milligrams to its positive patients and started giving them Empramac. And as a result, the patients began to recover and their health began to improve. And Russia's Ministry of Health discharged and sent home more than 14,000 patients in one day. Oops. There is an increasing focus amongst lawyers filing lawsuits against perpetrators of the COVID-19 mass vaccination debacle are prosecutions of doctors violating the International Nuremberg Code. And here we examine what the code requires of all medical doctors. This may interest our law group. Among the evidence presented shows possible criminality of medical practitioners of falsifying death certificates. And below we present a copy of a 1996 document from the British Medical Journal setting out the details of what constitutes ethical practice amongst medical doctors. Now, the judgment by the War Crimes Tribunal at Nuremberg laid down 10 standards to which physicians must conform when they are carrying out experiments on human subjects in a new code that is now accepted worldwide. And this judgment established a new standard of ethical medical behaviour for the post-World War II human rights era. Among other requirements, this document enunciates the requirement of voluntary informed consent of the human subject. And the principle of voluntary informed consent protects the right of the individual to control his own body. This code also recognizes that the risk must be weighed against the expected benefit and that unnecessary pain and suffering must be avoided. This code recognizes that doctors should avoid actions that injure human patients. Now, the principles established by this code for medical practice have now been extended into general codes of medical ethics. The Nuremberg Code 1947, permissible medical experiments. The great weight of the evidence before us to effect that certain types of medical experiments on human beings, when kept within reasonably well-defined bounds, conform to the ethics of the medical profession generally. Now, the protagonists of the practice of human experimentation justify their views on the basis that such experiments yield results for the good of society that are unprocurable by other methods or means of study. But before I get into this, let's go back a couple of stories. Or was it the last one? Yes, it was the last one. So these people want to do medical experiments to gain medical knowledge. And yet we have a pandemic, global pandemic, and they won't do human experiments. Funny that, isn't it? And all agree, however, that certain basic principles must be observed in order to satisfy moral, ethical, and legal concepts. 1. The voluntary consent of the human subject is absolutely essential. This means that the person involved should have legal capacity to give consent. should be so situated as to be able to exercise free power of choice without the intervention of any element of force, fraud, deceit, duress, overreaching, or other ulterior form of constraint or coercion, and should have sufficient knowledge and comprehension of the elements of the subject matter involved as to enable him to make an understanding and enlightened decision. This latter element requires that before the acceptance of an affirmative decision by the experimental subject, there should be made known to him the nature, duration, and purpose of the experiment, the method and means by which it is to be conducted, all inconveniences and hazards reasonably to be expected, and the effects upon his health or person which may possibly come from his participation in the experiment, and the duty and responsibility for ascertaining the quality of consent rests upon each individual who initiates, directs, or engages in the experiment, and it is a personal duty and responsibility which may not be delegated to another with impunity. Code 2. The experiment should be such as to yield fruitful results for the good of society, unprocurable by other methods or means of study, and not random and unnecessary in nature. Number 3. The experiment should be so designed and based on the results of animal experimentation and a knowledge of the natural history of the disease or other problem under study that the anticipated results justify the performance of the experiment. 4. The experiment should be so conducted as to avoid all unnecessary physical and mental suffering and injury. 5. No experiment should be conducted where there is a priori reason to believe that death or disabling injury will occur, except perhaps in those experiments where the experimental physicians also serve as subjects. 6. The degree of risk to be taken should never exceed that determined by the humanitarian importance of the problem to be solved by the experiment. 7. Proper preparations should be made and adequate facilities provided to protect the experimental subject against even remote possibilities of injury, disability, or death. 8. The experiment should be conducted only by scientifically qualified persons. The highest degree of skill and care should be required through all stages of the experiment of those who conduct or engage in the experiment. 9. During the course of the experiment, the human subject should be at liberty to bring the experiment to an end if he has reached the physical or mental state where continuation of the experiment seems to him to be impossible. 10. During the course of the experiment, the scientist in charge must be prepared to terminate the experiment at any stage if he has probable cause to believe in the exercise of the good faith, superior skill and careful judgment required of him, that a continuation of the experiment is likely to result in injury, disability, or death to the experimental subject. You know what that applies to? Every single person who's been vaccinated. They told us all it was experimental. You have the right under this code to refuse. And it says quite clearly, you cannot coerce. So all those businesses who made their staff take those vaccines are now in danger of mass lawsuits. it states it quite clearly. The experiments can only be done if it's in the interest and health of the person or the subject involved, and they give full consent. Now, a lot of stupid people have already done that, and that's their own fault. But there's also been a lot where they've been coerced, like medical staff, teachers. Your heads of office have gone against the Nuremberg Code. Should anyone wish to see the full declaration of that, I can take it out of the show and send it in a file or something. So now we've established they're going against the Nuremberg Code. We've also established from Russia that COVID doesn't exist as a virus. Oh my. What else? And now we're going to go to the UK and find out some more interesting stuff. The Freedom of Information Act submitted to the UK NHS Trust provided further interesting statistics and analysis of COVID-19. Question 1. How many people died in the UK hospitals of COVID-19 alone, as in they died due to only COVID-19? Answer: 0. Question 2. The percentage of those with underlying conditions as part of the total. Answer: 0%. Question 3. The percentage of those without underlying conditions as part of the total. The answer: 0%. In another report from the UK, it states the resurgence in both hospitalisations and deaths in recent weeks is dominated by those who have received the 2 doses of the vaccines. This comprises of 60-70% of the recent upsurge wave. 60-70% of the upsurge in COVID cases is by people who have had the 2 doses of the vaccines. The vast majority of people offered the Oxford AstraZeneca anti-COVID vaccine, which is now called Vaxzevria, on the southern Italian island of Sicily are now refusing to take it, according to the region's president, Nello Musumeci. And in Sicily, there is an 80% refusal rate of the AstraZeneca vaccine, and every 100 people, 80 say no, according to the president. Clearly, he never went to John Hopkins. And he added that it is natural for people to be hesitant about the vaccine, recently rebranded as Vaxzevria, but they must believe scientists when they tell them that it is more dangerous to not get vaccinated than to get vaccinated. Clearly, he went to Langley. Mr. President, you jackass. 99.97% the immune system. One vaccine is 90%, the other is 63%. Do the math. Preferably non-John Hopkins, please. So it's more dangerous to get vaccinated than not to. That make any sense? Perhaps he needs to go and ask the UK. 60-70% rise are due to people who have been vaccinated twice. The World Economic Forum are now proposing, along with their stupid smart masks, and also with China, for the world to have permanent face masks. Here's a solution. Because that's fine. Let them take everyone who wants to do that and put them all in China. Build the great Rus Wall, not China Wall, higher and block them all in. Throw Gates, I don't give a Fauci, Royals, Elites and Portal people in there as well. Problem solved. As a volcanic eruption cast a pall of ash over a Caribbean island of St. Vincent's, tens of thousands fled, but eyebrows were raised after the island's nation's PM, or CM, Crime Minister, said that they weren't going anywhere without a COVID shot, really. And the La Soufriere volcano on the eastern Caribbean island of St. Vincent erupted on Friday, sending a column of ash 10 kilometres into the sky, with some 16,000 people living in the red zone near the volcano, which I always find bizarre anyway. The authorities have been scrambling to put together evacuation plans in the hours leading up to the blast. And for viewers following the evacuation effort through television news reports, one detail of the plan may have stood out. And there are cruise ships who are evacuating people from the island, according to CBS News, adding that only those vaccinated against COVID would be allowed to leave. Yet more jackassery. The solution to this is another one. The solution to this is to airlift the island's Prime Minister, Ralph Gonsalves, off of the island and drop him into the volcano. Problem solved. There's no room for stupidity on this planet anymore. Final piece of COVID news before the break, and we go into a couple of exposés. There are many members in the alt media that I don't particularly approve of, and we'll have some of that later. But if some people do or say things beneficial for them by the people, I will report it. Like Anna von Reitz. I don't like who she works for. But she often has good insights in her posts that have made it to our show. And that is learning to combine ideas together, regardless whether those two people see eye to eye. And this week, she mentioned in her latest piece is fairly useful, where she said the simple solution to not getting the techno jab is to say, I am allergic to the vaccine serum. I am allergic to the vaccine serum. They can't force you into taking it with that statement. We'll be back shortly. Right, a few exposés now. And the first one, I was given a little bit of help by one of our members from Sweden. And he sent me this a few months ago. And then I found an article that tied it all in. And it's something that needs to be highlighted again, to bring it out of the dark and into the light. But in 1920, the Scientific American reported that the atmosphere was deficient in CO2 and that crop productivity could be greatly enhanced by introducing CO2 emissions from smokestacks, and that the earth was covered with luxuriant forests when CO2 levels were much higher. Oops. I guess Greta didn't get the message. Now, one of the principal constituents making up the body of a plant is carbon, which is representing about one half of its organic substance. And the opinion that this carbon is derived from the soil has long been abandoned, and modern investigation having shown atmospheric carbonic acid to be absorbed by means of the chlorophyll or green matter of the leaves and then decomposed into its elements. The carbon, in conjunction with the root sap and atmospheric moisture, being worked then into the organic compounds. Whereas atmospheric air at present is relatively poor in carbonic acid, of which it contains only about 0.03%. And at an earlier period in the development of our planet, when this was covered with the luxuriant forests, our coal deposits are derived from and comprised incomparably greater quantities of this gas. Now, this fact suggested that the idea of heightening the fertility of the soil by increasing its carbonic acid content and thus producing conditions resembling those of antediluvian ages. Except the jackass scientists now say climate change's negative effects on plants will likely outweigh the gains from elevated atmospheric carbon dioxide levels. You see, I told you there are no experts, only scientific lobbyists on behalf of the system. So this is the part that was sent in by one of our members. And it highlights the real issue of the lack of CO2 we face. Now, optimum CO2 is 2,000 parts per million for a green and healthy planet. We now have 400 parts per million. For the benefit of John Hopkins people, that's 20%. Plants start to die at 150 parts per million. Now, earlier, not too far back, we had 800 parts of per million. And CO2 is the gas of life. Now, Bill Gates has big plans on how to bind this so-called killing gas, CO2, when it's needed for life to thrive here. So then the levels will be safe, according to Bill Gates, of 100 parts per million. Remember, plants die at 150. And just like the COVID scam, the very people who tell us what to do are the ones not doing it themselves. They babble on about climate change, and yet 1,500 private planes flew into Davos this year, loaded with people all meeting to try and help solve climate change. I guess irony is lost on these jackasses. Or, to reveal the truth, there is no climate change and there is no COVID, as described, and they are running Earth re-engineering programs to suit their own agendas. Think of all the programs they're running with now: geoengineering, climate engineering, climate change, chemtrails and weather manipulations that are giving the planet not enough sunlight, which is the energy source of life. But is this engineering new? No. In the UK, in 1952, was presented with engineered floods that ended up killing more than 30 people. And what other engineering is ongoing? Well, there's a reason Bill Gates is the biggest owner of farming in the USA. And in the USA, they are now paying the farmers not to produce. Now, why would they do that? Well, remember Gates talking about us not having any meat, and we would end up with fake meat? End up with it? No, let's go back again. They've been doing meat that comes from fungus known as mycoprotein, and it is marketed under the trade name Quorn, and made into a variety of products, including chicken-like nuggets, lasagna, fettuccine Alfredo, and even an alternative to ground beef called grounds. All of it is a fungus. And again, this is not new. This was introduced in 2002. And here is the part of the report from 2002. Scientists found the fungus growing on farms west of London in the 1960s and discovered that its long strands could be made into a product that mimicked the fibrous tissue of meat. The fungus is now grown through fermentation, mixed with egg and flavourings, and fashioned into imitation chicken or beef. It is now eaten in 1 in 20 British households, the company says, and is sold in 6 other European countries. It arrived in US stores in January 2003 after getting approval from the Food and Drug Administration. And he said, we just have to make sure fungus is not going to appear on the label anywhere, said Bonchi, who is the Director of Sports Nutrition at the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center. The answer is, it didn't. The labels on corn products say mycoprotein comes from a small, unassuming member of the mushroom family, which we ferment like yogurt. Except it's not a mushroom at all. But here is a big dot connector for you all to tie it all in together. Which company developed this fungus products for us to eat? The product was developed by a subsidiary of the Anglo-Swedish pharmaceutical giant AstraZeneca and introduced in Britain in 1985. AstraZeneca, the same company that the so-called man of the people Trumpster sent $10 billion of our money to last year, remember? And it is suspected now that all vaccines of the future will be these CRISPR DNA RNA altering jabs. Did they warn this before? Well, like I said, they always put it in fiction. But perhaps fiction is fact, and fact is fiction. Go and watch Designated Survivor Series Season 3, Episode 2 in particular, and you'll see that this was planned all along. In the USA, children got 31 shots, now it's 72. And you can expect that to increase, not due to extra illness, but to fill vulture capitalists' greedy pockets. That's what it's all about. And to tie this in a bit more and connect another dot, we have spoken about vaccines and farming. But did you know that cows are vaccinated through the nose? Exactly like what happens with the COVID tests. What did Finkelstein say? We were all cattle. Coronaviruses has been around forever. It's not new. They are in the saliva, not the back of your nose or via the brain membrane either. Now, back in 2013-14 time on Cosmic Voice, I said something that made people think. Heaven forbid. And it was probably the very first time people more familiar with Drake than I back then stood up and took notice of what I said. And it was another common sense theme again. And there was a lot of back chatter about chemtrails at the time, and we're all going to die. Except that concept made no sense to me, as the clowns would be breathing the same air and absorbing the same air particles as we were. Maybe not now, we've got masks, which doesn't protect you from anything, funny enough. So in that particular show, I asked people, does chemtrails from that point of view make any sense? And what does make sense is, if the chemtrails are being done by someone or something else. And I asked, are we being terraformed for the benefit of another race of beings? Is this a slow takeover by first dulling down our perceptions, limiting or erasing our freedoms, altering our food, water, air, and now our bodies? And are we infiltrated by a group with 100% total contempt for the human race? After Tuesday's show, I think you may have your answer to who is doing this to us, due to their capacity for evil, greed and sheer contempt for humans, was there for all to see. Exposé 2. Some people don't like these kind of exposés, and I get it. I don't particularly like them too much myself either. But these people are affecting people's lives in bad ways and steering them off their path. And that is why I do it. And I'm pleased many more in our community now are doing the same thing. Enough of the bullshit. And let's all get real and stand in the truth. Now, Stephen Kelly of Truth Cat Radio did an expose on Charlie Ward recently, and some of his research I have included and added my own elements of it. Now, Kelly has his own dodgy connections via the CIA and NSA, which puts him in a faction-based narrative. But I've always said, if people put out the truth or say something useful, I will relay it. Which is why, from time to time, I have pieces from the Vatican and Bloodline family-serving member, Anna von Reitz. But what is interesting now is that Jordan Sather, who I warned him of his connections to the agency lackey Wilcock, the fake story writer Corey Good, yes, all the blue avian script was made up, and also his connections to Robert David Steele. But now it seems he has jumped ship from all of those and is exposing stuff that this show host has done since 2013. Welcome aboard, Jordan, if you are acting for the people. Or has he become another faction statistic? Time will tell. Now, behind Sather for a while hid who I dubbed the alternative media interceptor man, Robert David Steele, who appears to get involved in all major alt-media clowns, but generally hovers in the background of them all. And the question is he the grandmaster of them all? Now, Steele famously went over and worked with Neil Keenan just after I exposed Keenan as part of Langley 2, along with Drake, Von Reitz, Fulford and others. And Steele was Keenan's ghost writer. And then stories emerged that Keenan was killed off in September of 2016 and was replaced with a double. And it seems wherever Steele is involved, bad things happen. Steele is also connected to Charlie Ward. So Charlie Ward claims he is a doctor. He's no more of a doctor than Greg Hallis is a king, Anna von Reitz is a judge, and David Wynne Miller and Gould are postmaster generals and several other titles. And he was brought up in a religious group called the Plymouth Brethren, probably related to the Pilgrims. And he was also a timeshare salesman. He ran operations in UK prisons and was moving large volumes of currencies and assets for the Elites. In the real world, that is called laundering. Now, Ward fled the UK and went on to a major centre of criminality in Marbella, Spain. Bad, bad place that. Which is notorious for drugs, prostitution and trafficking. Now, he is what would be known in the UK, Ward, as a Cockney white boy. All smiles and persuasion, who would literally sell their own grandmother to make money. And his insertion into timeshare is the equivalent of a used car salesman, based on lies and distortion of the truth in order to make a sale. And thousands of Europeans were tricked out of their money by people like Ward and the timeshare business. And quite frankly, that whole business is a racket. Now, Ward was also given a contract of work for all UK prisons, which means he is part of the private contractors group, maybe Serco, which is connected to the rogue agencies. And many of these private contractors end up on the internet talking the distraction-based rhetoric. So why do we say that? Because I suspect he is another like Neil Keenan, who is caught committing high-level crimes, in his case Keenan, drug running. Now Neil was given a 5-year jail sentence for that and had his passport confiscated, yet Neil turned up in Bulgaria, Sofia, without a passport, and arrives in the Eastern European Division of the CIA. And what this reveals is, Neil took a plea bargain for no jail sentence, but was tasked to work for the CIA. It's a common tactic. And Ward appears to be in the same boat as Neil. And I get they didn't want to go to jail, but Neil would have been out within 3 years. A deal with the CIA or other agencies becomes a life sentence, and in Neil's case, probably his death sentence. Now, Ward said he's connected to the CIA, not a surprise, but there's also evidence he's with the NSA. Again, not a surprise, as the NSA is a subsidiary of GCHQ, and so the British connection becomes obvious. Now, Ward's connections lead them to the UK socialites called the Kidd family, who are connected to the Rothschilds via Nathan the Rothschild, who is a shareholder or a shared shareholder of the Gemma Kidd makeup company, which is a shell corporation, who are alleged to be trafficking children to certain islands off the southeast coast of Florida. But another shareholder of that company, Ward, the Kidd family, Rothschilds, and another shareholder of that company just happens to be Ghislaine Maxwell, Oops. Now, Ghislaine Maxwell is a Mossad agent, just like Monica Lewinsky. And remember the quote from Netanyahu in Tuesday's show. My Mossad uses children to trap your leaders into extortion so we can control you. But your perverts only see the child sex. Which then brings in Epstein. But then Ward, which is typical of a Cockney wide boy, begins bragging and begins name dropping and his involvement with Jimmy Savile, the UK paedophile. Ward admitted he procured young children for Jimmy Savile for the purpose of sexual slavery and abuse of underage girls. Now, some time back in my early days of being a radio show host, I was given a full and detailed transcript from one of the Queen's butlers who worked in the palace. And it contained startling evidence of the abuse and use of underage children allegedly done by members of the royal family. Now, I was aware of this back in the 1990s and became aware of an investigation by Scotland Yard into the BBC, which Ward worked for. And Jimmy Savile and others were sexually abusing underage children. But I was informed the investigation was dropped into Savile due to the end of the chain of the child sexual abuse cases led all the way to Buckingham Palace and the royal family. Remember, Savile was an MBE. And further evidence came to light of numerous skeletons of children and adults found around many of the royal houses in the UK and was subsequently covered up. Now, I was asked at the time, this was around 2013, to do a show on those documents, but declined, as I preferred my head attached to my shoulders. And some of Ward's guests leave much to be desired, like Sasha Stone. Another one, The Barley Club, if you want to look into Sasha Stone. But also David Icke. Now, I like David Icke, but he has all the hallmarks of faction-based narrative and is consistently connected with other rogue alt-media entities to raise sufficient suspicions to his real intentions. The very fact he seems to get wheeled out from time to time is a sign to me that they wheel him out for specific purposes. I could be wrong, but his connections, you know, first Jones, Stratfor Clown, and now Ward and others, and Parks. Now, Ward also promoted the Greg Hallett, I am the King of England guy. Yeah, right. Hallett was exposed on the internet back in the early 2000s as a fake. But yet again, they wheel them back out like a loop. Now, the real king, based on proper bloodlines and not the insertion of a German bloodline family into the British royals, the real king was an Australian guy. He lived in Britain and went and emigrated to Australia. And he died recently and he had no desire to take up his position. And from what I gather, Ward is an inserted stooge designed to provide distraction within the alt media. Now, Ward only appeared in late April of last year, just before a future guest of his departed from THI. Whether that is coincidental remains to be seen. And the other coincidence is both Ward and Life Force at similar times started making their alleged intel be private, and you had to pay around $15 to listen to their, what is now obvious, bullshit. As not one prediction from Ward or Life Force has come to fruition. Not one. Now, Kim Gogoan went on his show once or twice, and it was clear some of Ward's more outlandish claims that followed on his shows had come from her, or they were both being fed the same bullshit. Children's tunnels cleared out, dumbs and underground cities, none of which proof has been provided, and the latter two events claims dumbs was not destroyed, which the trustee backtracked on, then switched to underground cities. But there's no evidence to support that either. In fact, I was given assurances that they are all still operational, although some of the children's tunnels have been cleared out. Dumbs and underground cities is fake news. Now, Kim recently said she does a background check on all people she engages with. And so with the quantum system and the full range of access to all agency background files on everyone, plus having data mapped every person on the planet, are you telling me that Kim couldn't find these details on Charlie Ward before going on his show? The trustee on a show with a child pedophile procurer, money launderer, shell corporations that's connected to trafficking, in some cases children it seems, connected to Dinars and the RV just like Tank, connected to Q, connected to the Rothschilds and Epstein and Maxwell. Ward is also served up with a dish of cold rice, who is another of the currency scam scheme of cryptos. And since the split, Kim has got involved with Tank, RV, Ward, RV, another currency laundering, Dan Lutz, part of past or present Swiss Indo, who are known for trafficking children and crypto, and now rice, cryptocurrency, and a bigger picture emerges here. Why is the trustee connected to all these lead scam artists? Remember, she was a high-level banker and should be able to spot these shysters a lot easier than us normal guys. But when you have access to all the world's files on all people, plus a multitude of titles, and yet we are to believe she didn't know about these people. At which point does it look like Kim may be a part of these scam artists? At which point does the boundaries of naivety on her part fall apart? Both of them were questions, not statements. But how would all those titles and access to endless streams of people's databases do you end up mixing with these type of people? All in the space of 12 months. To some it seems I escaped a bullet. But then Kim knows all too well I would never have mixed with those people in a million years. She was told I would never compromise myself or the people for money or titles. That is not and never will be happening. Maybe that's why she fired me for no reason whatsoever. Some will still not believe that, but time will always tell. But I find it amusing the very people who doubt that will not engage me in an adult-based conversation, which renders them at the same level as Team Bubba and their band of pedos and agency-based stooges. Remember, I offered them several times to come on our show and air their allegations. They refused every time, just like Kim has refused 5 olive branches. They refuse because they know I will stand on their truth and their narrative will fall apart in a public forum. But what has been evidenced now is there is a range of UK operatives playing lead roles in duping the alt-media public, some of whom are connected to the British establishment, Ward, Steele and his sidekick Sacha Stone, Parks, Ike, to name but a few, all of which smacks of agency-based stooges, who may well have been forced into those roles for past misdemeanours. And the only losers in the alt are the alt-media followers in all of this. And that is the great sadness to me, that so many tasked with providing the alternative narrative turn out are just a bunch of sellouts and self-serving criminals sending people off the path. I named this show that way for a reason. I don't do fakery, and I challenge myself to operate under those 3 traits: truth, honour and integrity. I think over time I have proven that, and if you doubt that, I will say, just give it some time, and time will always tell. Yep, 2 songs. Don't Look Back in Anger, which is a statement, and We Go On, which is another. And that's what we must do. Final piece tonight is another alt-media exposure. And this incident has been going on for months, in fact, practically since the start. And certain people taking advantage of the generous people making donations to fulfill not humanitarian programs or restoration plans, but to line certain people's pockets. Now, first we had the UN channel at Lifeforce, and it was all happening in a few weeks. 2 weeks, well, except 2 weeks went on like Drake. And months went by, and another channel emerged, UNC. And Tank on one show asked for $9,000 and that they would open the channel within 2 weeks. Then another channel emerged, UNN. And more people got fired, this time a more high-profile one, Ava Cowan, which is the second time Kim had brought her into the team and the second time she was cast aside. Now, during the gaps between the 3 named channels, the channels were being registered to people under ownership that at no point in time, I believe, was connected to Kim Goguen. That is a staggering oversight on her part again. Remember, according to Kim, Source told her to create an internet TV channel. That was not Source, that was the AI god. But Kim has a major listening problem, and possibly due to the voice-to-head technology she was wearing back then, but it's not an excuse now. That's been gone since July. So Source tells her to make and run her own Portal People channel, but someone else would have the 100% ownership rights to it. Does that make any sense? No. Then it's a program then, isn't it? and two people who Kim treats like a pet puppet, I'm told. Not my words, other people. Alan, James, Circle of White Light, and more so Liam are facilitating it. Why wouldn't they help Kim in several matters that put her reputation and standing in bad light? They both took the opportunity with glee to jump into my shoes and work closely with Kim, regardless of the friendship we had built up. Yet, like Tank also, they all forgot the protection and support afforded to Kim that I provided. Do you really think Kim would be in this inescapable mess if I was still in place? The answer is no. But then the ones who replaced me, Tank, Alan and Liam, are to blame for the current mess and now rendering the trustee a laughingstock. And that is not a throwaway remark. I've heard it from several high-up sources. She's looked upon as a laughingstock. But will Alan and Liam be mad enough to admit they made a mistake and come and help rebuild the People's Club? Time will tell on them. And it's not that Kim is innocent in all of this either. Ego does terrible things to people, and some seem oblivious to their actions and subsequently the consequences. Now, this is part of a report I was sent this week, called the GIA Internal Investigation. And this is George, known as the Viking on their show, who I have spoken to a couple of times in the past, the last being around May of last year. And he was asked to do something by Kim, and this is what unfolded. Now, to give further background on the shenanigans of Life Force, perhaps a reminder of just a few of the serious allegations made by their own members, not THI, their own members, of actions within that group. One, the assemblies are infiltrated by unknown GIA agents. Two, one assembly is running a criminal child operation. Three, GIA, whose head is Kim, sent FBI agents to threaten one of their members to shut up. Four, members closely involved were asked to sign a non-disclosure statement. Five, members being forced to sign contracts to work with them. Six, alleged money was taken by Tank out of the Lawful America account, $25,000. 7. Alleged money was used for Tank's Reno trip out of the Life Force account. And 8. Like all the previous, both Kim and Tank were warned of it and ignored it all. 8. She was told 3 times her assemblies were unlawful and putting their members at risk. Now, to date, my input into Kim Gogoon was never personal, only about her business decisions and poor treatment of her followers, as just reference with the 8 reminders. Plus, throw in the funding of the takeover of the Fed by the Black Sun Group. Subsequent funding was used to lock down all Americans. And she gave large funds to the Pentagon, who are heavily involved with the COVID scam via DARPA. And then she gave more funds to Trump on the same day he launched the vaccines. That is her legacy of the past 12 months. Now, this is George's input. There was an argument that went on, and he said, no, the issue was with Tank, which I was not aware of until last night, that Tank owns UNN 100%. Kim only gets what he decides to keep her in room and board only conditions. And George says, this is a far cry from what I was told before. The UNC was set up as Source wanted, with 51% always going to help the people globally and 49% to Kim and Stephen Rosen for them and admin costs and support. My comments on that. Kim only gets what Tank decides. Is this the Kim we all remember? Now, the room and board part is correct, as Kim has no source of income. But the other line intrigued me. 49% of the funds go into two people and 51% to $7.5 billion. How does Source reckon on that? And the great question is, was Source trained at the John Hopkins Math Center? George carried on. The problem came with the change of the name to UNN, and I was told it was a simple name change, and that was all. Until last night, discovering that Tank had virtually stolen the whole damn thing from the previous people, including Kim. He went on, it gets even better, as Kim approved me to make changes in their, quote, crumbling internal structure, unquote, which George did, and most everyone was extremely happy about and relieved that finally someone was able to provide them all with badly needed assistance. Most of all of that was due to the few called Tank's core team, who were abusing the hell out of everyone to the point of some almost walking out of the door from UNN. Then when everything blows up, I'm told that UNN is not part of the GIA or the restoration plan, and that it was a separate business of Tank and Tank alone. Therefore, I was interfering with something that was none of my business, I was told, and I guess rightly so, since I wasn't informed Kim had nothing to do with the UNN business other than always being a special guest for Tank. My comments? So the trustee, Eve, and the dozen other titles person is now a lackey for the failed RV man? The trustee bound down to a man who acts like a used car salesman? Really? Oh, how the mighty has fallen. The same failed RV man who told Kim in February 2020, you are a woman and no one will listen to you. And because you are a woman, you should hand over the role as trustee to Tank. Too funny, Tank. The chances of you ever reaching the parameters required to do that role are zero. Or to use a classic Kim quote, less than zero. Now, some people thought Tank wanted my job, and to a degree he did. But I knew 3 years ago it was her job he wanted, and who was putting him up to it, and so did Kim. But guess what? Kim's non-listening program kicked in again. Not once, but several times. George went on and said, I reminded them that I had been informed, had I been informed and known that, I would never begin corrective measures, which Kim gave me approval for and now denies. My comment. A common theme, that, for Kim. When things go wrong, she vehemently denies it and only points fingers away from her. George then said, then, of course, she's on a hot spot with Tank, whatever that means. So I guess she had to claim that I was lying, and that's when everything went to hell in a handbasket. My comment, further confirmation that Kim is unable to do or say anything without Tank's approval. And this is exactly how I portrayed the split up last May. Someone or something put her up to this, and someone has her over a barrel. That person is Tank. But don't think it's just him. He is the front puppet for a larger group connected to rogue military and agencies, and he is incapable of pulling this off himself. George says, now all of this transpired via a conference call between the three of us, which ended up with the two of them screaming at me until my phone battery died and immediately put me offline. Yes, I've heard that. Kim and her screaming is a common theme. Wrath is her deadly sin, and she has failed to address it. And maybe the real source should have told her to address that before becoming a portal people person. George said, by the time the phone was recharged enough to reboot, and I could get the hotspot plugged back into the computer to get online, that's when I found Kim laying all this stuff out in our business work threads for all to see, making their claims of me supposedly lying, of which you have the copy of the transcripts, and from that point to the end when she ran out of steam. Again, this is similar to what she did in the MeWe chat, a volley of accusations, none of which were true, and when questioned, she ran off. Now, Kim, like many other people, can call me whatever they like. I know different. But the sheer contempt and disdain she had for our members that day is what bothers me most. It was shameful. And yet some of our members went over to join her after that, seduced by the Saviour, Money and Fame program again. Well, for 4 years, our members loved her, supported her, encouraged her, and in part financed her. And she dismissed all that in one of her classic wrath episodes. And for what? All to be a pet poodle for Tank? Oh dear. George says, now with the evidence presented of their accusations of me lying, it's near impossible not to see and understand that it was they who were perpetrating this facade, doing all the lying and poorly at that for anyone to come to any other conclusion. However, they rule by absolute fear, hate and animosity towards all people below the core team of Tank, Kim, Lisa, Lane and Vera, of which Vera played the most minimal part and out of sheer fear of Tank has been relinquished to a more quiet position. I have heard several reports to support the fear, hate and animosity to their own members to support that claim. But George says, does this sound like people working with source protocols to you? Well, George, you got hung out to dry like I did. Perhaps that is something called karma. You made your choice and you backed the wrong horse. George then says, these are the protocols of the Deep State Black Sun occult hierarchy. and then says, why do I say this evil thing, you may ask? Because prior to my phone battery dying, they were both screaming at me that they had an important appointment coming up by mid-month with the MK Looking Glass, which is an MK Ultra occult mind control program. They even had to add just how important it was and that it has always been a standing appointment for them every year, which they cannot miss under any circumstances. Which also means they've been under this influence all along as enablers of the occult Black Sun activities. There are numerous problems with this, of course, but two quite serious ones. MK Ultra Looking Glass was the most evolved mind control program. Then they integrated that with the occult sciences and now trying an en masse initiation with all who will follow them. Eventually you would end up under the Jesuit protocols. The dangers come when a few occult groups may unite to break through into the minds of our 3D world, and that is what MK Looking Glass was all about. That was George. I find that deeply concerning, and why she is in big trouble I warned of recently. She has become another fallen angel statistic, with the common slide of the unbalanced ego has taken its toll again. But then, after Kim found out, after near 5 years of me telling her Trump was not an ally, Kim's wrath on Trump, and then states Trump is Black Sun, which she was told dozens of times previously, and these Black Sun associates around her seems to mount up, and the obvious questions being asked now is she one of them? Now, throughout my time with Kim, we had very few disagreements. I had a number of frustrations after I told her several things and she didn't listen. But eventually she did in her own way. Except one particular incident. Kim told me she was designated to build a lab in a town not far from here and work with her now known handler boyfriend, who was a chemist. He was picked out in the Looking Glass technology to be the guy who invented time travel. Kim and him were going to invent time travel, and I vehemently disagreed. In fact, I told her that lab would be destroyed with him and her in it if need be. The only people who would benefit from time travel are the dark forces, to loop us back in time and the loops, and I told her quite clearly that will not be happening. The alt media is riddled with scam artists, agency miscreants and bullshit merchants that I find very sad. And not necessarily a surprise given the old system's control of all media, but it's the damage done to the people that concerns me. This is why I expose it. And some will see it as a continued tiff between Kim and I, but I can assure you the tiff was only one-sided and appeared then as manufactured. Now that theory looks more correct by the day. There was no tiff. Kim went on an unprovoked, wrath-based rant and denigrated all men, including me. In fact, she threw me in the same category as her former boyfriend, who was employed to be a handler, and his handler, both of whom were CIA and Black Sun operators, which again she was warned of much earlier. But the listening problem she has blocked it until it became obvious to even her. Now she talks much about her love of her daughter, and that's genuine. Yet she selfishly seems oblivious to the dangers she's putting her child in, inviting Blackwater mercenaries and other strange people to her home and putting her child in great danger. And for what? A TV channel and recognition? Look at how important I am. And she forgets before May of last year we did important things, not act important. Big difference. I reached out to help her via back channels again this week because of my concern for her and her daughter's safety, and yet again it was dismissed. And at this point it appears Ms. Goguen is only interested in herself, oblivious to the damage she has done, oblivious to the dangers to her child, oblivious that her reputation with heads of state and other departments is now shot, oblivious to the friendships she has destroyed, oblivious to the good people who helped her and dismissed her like an arrogant goddess of the past. Her ability to engage the quantum system is now mute. She revealed that in several comments in her shows, if you can read between the lines. The mere mention of the Omega system she is working with tells you that, but there were plenty of other hints. I said in October, the saviour bandwagon of Trump, Q and the trustee are a month away from irrelevance, despite my hopes it would work for all three of them. But do people still believe that October statement was wrong? And this is another example of why we need to build the TPC and get away from these shysters harvesting funds and ideas off of good people under false pretences. Good people being led astray by the saviour and dangling carrots technique, a weight club of promises, none of which were ever fulfilled. And move away from the seedy self-serving harvesting alt media and a focus of what we're doing to build a new future. This is our task. All of us to encourage all alt media to join the TPC platform. It is your group for survival, prosperity, a voice, a safety net. You can wait for the trust or pool our resources and build our own. I would love nothing more than to see the alt media en masse join the People's Club and become a force together. Not because I designed or created the People's Club or for people to follow THI, because the TPC doesn't belong to me. It's your platform, your movement, and your responsibility to make it thrive for us all. THI gave you all the background of how to improve yourself, and also a whole gamut of dot connecting most thought was not possible to make or connect. But we've already done that. So now you all know who, what, when and why was the problem. Your task now is to provide the solutions. But the TPC is not a social group, it is a working group. And all of us have to engage and work towards a better future. A line from Tuesday's show says it all. We own the Republicans and we own the Democrats. and that is correct. But what they don't own is we the people or the people's club unless we allow it. That is our ticket out of this mess. The ending song is to us all, but perhaps the person dominant in this last piece needs to listen and act on it. This has been the Truth, Honour and Integrity Show. My name's Thomas Williams. Bye for now.